Translation: one must argue that since you have already promised, you can. How can you refuse? O best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of Bhavritcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful, preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. And in text 13:9, Satyam Pushpam Palam Vidyat Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Vrikshi Jivate Tannasyat Andritang Mulam Atmanaha. Translation: the Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This sloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyang Jagan Mitya. The spirit soul is truth, and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with Mayavad philosophy. Even if for the sake of argument the material world is accepted as untruth, the living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit, pushpa palam, have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one cannot thoroughly study the Vedic instructions. And thus, at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 8.6, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajachante kalevaram. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. Atrapi bhavrichayar gitam srinume surasattama satyamum mitti yat proktam yannetya hanritam hitat. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse? O best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of Bhavritcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful, preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. I'll do 39 again. Satyam pushpam palam vidyat atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshi jivati tannasyat anritang mulam atmanaha. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Om Agyana Timarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vande Hang Sri Gurav Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostati Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubya Ebacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with the permission of everyone, try and see something appropriate. Hare Krishna. It's kind of funny how we have Bali Maharaj, who's in the family of demons, but in this pastime he is the devotee, he's the example. We have Shukracharya, who is the guru, but in this pastime he is the demon. His philosophy is demoniac. And in verse 39, just to flip it over again, although Shukracharya is demoniac and his teachings are incorrect, what he's actually saying in this particular verse is very applicable to Vaishnavism, and Srila Prabhupada comments on the words of Shukracharya in the Vaishnav way. Now, what did Shukracharya mean when he said, if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers? What did he mean by the fruits and flowers? What do you think Shukracharya would mean to be the fruit and flower of the body? Remember, he's averse to Vishnu. He's thinking in terms of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. When Bali Maharaj offered three steps of land, Shukracharya objected. And in this part of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that the reason he's objecting is because he has personal motive. He's thinking, well, Bali is I am the family priest of Bali Maharaj. So if he gives away everything, then how is he going to maintain me? So the actual motive of Shukracharya being a guru is for his own well-being, so he can maintain his family. So this is known as Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. So when he's speaking to Bali, he's saying, you know, the fruits and flowers of the tree, I understand it to mean he's referring to dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. He's thinking, well, if Bali gives away everything, he's going to have no money. But the Vaishnav will take different meaning from this. What is the, for a Vaishnav, what is the fruit and flower of the body? What is the value of the body? Yes, and that's the process. And what is the fruit of devotional service? Love of God, yes, love of Godhead. That is ultimately the fruit. Now the first line is Satyam Pushpa Palam Vijad. You should know the fruit and flower to be Satya, meaning truth. The last line, Anritam Mulam Atmanaha. The root of the body is Anrita. Anrita means what? It means false. Anrita. So the first line is saying the fruit is satya, it is truth, and the last line is saying the body is anrita. So we see this is Sankhya Yoga. We're getting into a subtle point here. It's like in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There's so much discussion about the body being temporary, the soul being eternal. This is Sankhya Yoga. Midway through the chapter, Krishna says, Eshate Behito Shankhi, Buddhi Yogi, Tvimam Shrinu. I've been speaking Shankhya, now I will speak Buddhi Yoga, which is Karma Yoga. The chapter changes. In this purport here, Prabhupada is mentioning that the body is good for two reasons. One, because we can philosophically speculate. And the other reason, we can engage in activities in the service of the Lord. So these are the two yogas, Karma Yoga and Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is, as I mentioned, the beginning of the second chapter. And then Prabhupada, or Krishna, takes it to Karma Yoga. And then at the end, there's one purport where Srila Prabhupada explains that actually this chapter is Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga, and there's also Bhakti Yoga there. Therefore, it's a complete summary of the Bhagavad Gita. in case you ever wondered why the second chapter is called Gita, Contents of the Gita Summarized. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that the second chapter is a summary. So in this second chapter, there's so much discussion about the temporary nature of the body, the eternal nature of the soul. And in today's verse, a little subtle points brought out. Although the body is temporary, the body gives a permanent fruit if used correctly. Therefore, it's not useless. Generally, we think if something's temporary, it is useless. The body is temporary, but it's not useless. Why? Because it can be used in devotional service. Therefore, from the body, whose foundation is anritta, false, comes devotional service, the fruit, which is satya, which is truth. So this is the essence of the verse. And as I mentioned, it's not what Shukracharya probably had in mind, because he's averse to Vishnu. However, the acharyas, they can take the actual meaning. Sometimes the Bhagavatam is like this. Anyone know any other examples of how demons can speak good philosophy? Hiranyakashipu, yes. Kamsa, yes. Very good examples. They were very expert in philosophy, but it was demoniac. You know, we have this statement, you can follow the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, right? So, Bali Maharaj, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, they can follow the letter of the law. They can come up with so much philosophy, but ultimately the spirit is Vidaishta Savairaham Eva Vidyaha. By all the Vedas I am to be known. So if one argues based on the Vedas in against Vishnu, this is the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. So we see in this pastime, Bali Maharaj, he's giving so much evidence to try and convince Shukracharya gives so much evidence to try and convince Bali Maharaj to go back on his promise. He says, you know, this is not the proper way to distribute wealth. And he gives a scriptural quote. The wealth should be divided in five parts. One part for your reputation, one for your family, one for religion, so forth. And then he's saying, well, you didn't see Om, so you can get out of it. You promised, but you didn't see Om before you promised. So this is simply demoniac, the scripture. He's basing his arguments on scripture, and he's defeating the very purpose of scripture. And there's one purport. Srila Prabhupada says, we may not be expert in Vedanta Sutra, but we understand the essence. Therefore, it is understood that we have understood Vedanta Sutra. You know, what does it mean to understand the scripture? It means to understand the essence of that scripture. So sometimes the Vaishnavas, when we don't have our own particular translation and commentary of Vedanta Sutra, well, we have the Govinda Bhashya, but it's not something that we sell in the bookshops and in ISKCON temples. But we should understand Artoyam Brahma Sutranam, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, we're actually Vedantists as such. Now, the past time when Lord Chaitanya, he was criticized by the Varanasi sannyasis. At that point, he made the point that, well, I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I just chant Hare Krishna. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, he makes an important point. He says, although we do not study the Vedanta Sutra, we actually understand the Vedanta Sutra philosophy very well. We should know the Vedanta Sutra philosophy very well. It's not that we just chant Hare Krishna and we don't understand the Vedanta Sutra. Okay, but it's, anyway. Prabhupada wanted to translate it and probably give purport, probably translate Govinda Bhashya, but obviously he left the planet before he did so. It's there on the... I've seen it online, you can get it online. Anyway, so let's look at the words here. Atmana, the verse 39, the term Atma is used, and it's used in a way that's probably a little bit unusual. What does the word Atma normally mean? The soul, that's one meaning.
Mind.
The mind, yeah, that's another one.
Body,
the body. Who said the body?
Body?
That's correct. That's actually what it was in this verse. It's the body. What did you see, Lita Saki? The self. Self and the soul. It means, you know, the seven meanings given in the Atmarama verse, right? There's another one is dritti. Dritti means fortitude, one's very fixed up. And yatna, which means effort. One is Brahman, which means the supreme. Funnily enough, the soul, as in the jiva, is not one of the meanings, but aham brahmasmi. The jiva means Brahman as well. So when we say that atma means Brahman, well, it can mean mini Brahman, like the jivas, or it can mean vibhu, Brahman, like Krishna. So one of the meanings is the body. So for example, the Atmarama verse, it can be understood to mean that those who are sense enjoyers, deha ramas, as is used in the chapter, they also, through service to Krishna, they will become enlightened and become enlivened. As ultimately, everyone should surrender to Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, body and mind. The mind was mentioned, someone mentioned the mind. So the mind, yeah. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many statements about the Atma. Sometimes the term Atma is used in several ways. Atman, yev, Atmanam, and so forth. And when you look at it, just from the point of view of Sanskrit, it's like, what does it mean? Does it mean I control the body by the mind? Does it mean I control the self by the mind, by the self, by the intelligence? Do I control the intelligence by the body? I mean, there's so many different options. So, I mean, obviously we have the translations. So we have Srila Prabhupada's translation to clarify these points. So the term Atma, yeah, it means so many things. And in this context, Atma Vriksha means the tree of the body. So Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 8:6, Yam Yam Vapi Smaram Bhavam Chajant Chante Kalevaram. It says, whatever you remember at the time of death, that state you will attain. Now, just outside the door here, there's a little poster. And on that poster, there's a quote from Mark Twain. You've seen this. The two most important days of my life are the day I was born and the day I realized why. Right? So, I personally disagree. I think the two most important days are the day I realized why I was born and the day I die. Death is very important. Janmana Jayati Shudra. We're born as Shudras. We have no good discrimination at the time of birth, unless we're very elevated souls. So what is the value of the moment of birth? We're not really conscious. We're not knowing what's going on. Now in the second canto, there's a very important statement. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Pyam Svadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parach Pumsham Ante Narayana Smritihi. The actual purpose of Sankhya, Yoga, or Svadharma Nishta, performance of one's prescribed duties, is to remember Krishna, or remember Narayan, at the time of death. So as Vaishnavas, we're very sober. We're not looking for temporary fruits. We're not like Shukracharya, who's thinking about the medium term. He's thinking about the rest of his bodily existence, how to be comfortable. So we're actually looking for Prema, Prumarto, Mahan, the ultimate Artha, which is Prema. You know, when Glad Maharaj teaches his school friends, he says, Kaumara Macharet Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatan Niha, Durlabam Manisham Janma, Tadapya Dhruvam Artadam. He says that even from childhood one should study this Bhagavat Dharma, because this material body, although it's temporary, a Dhruva, it is Artada. It gives something very, very valuable. So what is that artha? It's prema. Prema pumarto mahan. Prema is the ultimate artha. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement. Krishna Vishayaka prema. Panchama purusharta. Jari agi. Trinatulya chari purusharta. Said, the fifth artha, the fifth purpose of life for human beings is prema. And compared to prema, the other four are like straw in the street. So when Prahlad Maharaj says the body is arthada, it actually means it can give us the ultimate benefit, which is Krishna prema. So these are some considerations of today's purport. I'll say one last thing about the purport. We've been discussing the Mayavadis quite a lot, those who turn up on Saturdays and Sundays. We're on the chapter 7 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, discussion of Mahaprabhu converting the Mayavad sannyasis. So in the verse, in the purport today, it's mentioned Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. A Brahman is truth and the universe is false. So since in the Vaishnava perspective, we take a subtle approach here. We say it's true, but we don't say it's so true. We say it's false, but we don't say it's too false, right? Now in the Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a statement about the qualification of a person to perform sadhana bhakti. And it said, Nati Sakto Navairagya Bhag Asyam Adhikar Yasau. Now the qualification for performing sadhana means one should not be too attached and one should not be too detached. Now let us consider what the downfalls. What is the downfall of being too attached? What will be the result? Pardon? Pride. I mean, what type of attachment we're talking about here? Attachment to what? Attachment to material life. So what is material attachment? What is the obstacle of material attachment that stops devotional progress? It becomes sense gratifier, right? Or we practice the Vedas for the wrong reasons. We follow the Vedas for the wrong reasons. So it's moving towards karma khand. So if you're too attached to material life, you will want to practice so-called spiritual life for the purpose of material enjoyment. But what if you are too unattached? Now, we want to be unattached, but what's the danger of being too unattached? What does it lead to? False renunciation. Yes, yeah, so the purport mentions the term yukta vairagya. We're not so attached, and we're not so detached that we don't utilize what's around us. So that tends towards the jnana marg if you're too detached. So Srila Rupa Goswami, Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai, Shishishiranam Lakshmanamana ki, Shishigonitai ki jai. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he says, Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi ridivartati. That bhukti, the desire for material enjoyment, and mukti, the desire for liberation, they're like a witch in the heart. And so long as this witch is present, then bhakti will not arise. So in order to practice bhakti, we cannot be too detached, we cannot be too attached as well. So the bhakti is kind of in the middle. So often you'll find when there are statements in the scriptures about how this world is an illusion, and Srila Prabhupada will qualify that statement by saying, it's real. It's real, but it's temporary. It's illusion because it's temporary. Or sometimes statements about this world being real, and Srila Prabhupada will say it's actually illusory. So he likes to balance. Occasionally, he maybe just says one or the other, but generally speaking, he balances. To give an example, the second verse, Vajam Vastam Vatra Vastu Shivadam, no, what's it? Dharma Projita Kaitavo Taparamo Nirmatsaranam Tatam, Vajam Vastam Vatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Milanam. The term vastu, it means like something that exists, but in the actual verse it's qualified as vastava, vejam vastava vastu. So we can talk about two vastus, or two entities. There's the vastava vastu, which means things that really exist, which means spiritual truths. Then there's the avastava vastu, which means material things. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sometimes talks about this, and I think the term vastava vastu, Srila Prabhupada, I think he used it, because I remember listening to a lecture, if I remember correctly, he used the term. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's very good at explaining the meaning of slokas. You know, the second sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a difficult one to understand, but you get this understanding that vastu means an actual entity or an ontological truth. So the spiritual world, this is vastava vastu. And the material world, it is the opposite, is avastava. Now in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a term amrisha, that this material world is amrisha. So Amrisha means, actually the word Mrisha means false. So Amrisha means factual. And when this verse, it appears twice, at least twice, maybe three times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the word Amrisha is translated as factual. But in the Bhagavatam, it's translated as almost factual. Srila Prabhupada doesn't want to translate it as factual, almost factual, because we don't want to consider it factual. If we consider it factual, then we start to enjoy the world. So we do both. We want to make it understand that it's factual in the sense that we can use everything around us for Krishna service. We don't neglect anything. But we want to also remember that it's false, because that way we don't become attached to it. So as Vaishnavas, we're doing both at the same time. So just to give in a nutshell, the purport is making the point that although the material body is false, the fruits of the material body are real. That's generally what is said. So I'll just conclude with just a little side point about the context of this, the Bhagavatam. So I was considering how the dharmas is being violated by Bali Maharaj, at least the mundane dharma, because he's doing something that he shouldn't do. He's rejecting his guru, right? Now this, the Bhagavatam, as we mentioned, it's Kaitava Dharma Projita, is giving up the cheating religion. Now, it's interesting how when students of the Vedas, they study scripture, they try to extract the essence of scripture, and there are rules as to how to describe, how to extract the essence. Now, there are different answers you can give. Some people will say, the beginning, what is said at the beginning, that's the essence. Now, if that's the case, I would say that the beginning is Dharma Prajita Kaitava Tra. Herein we kick out cheating religion. So for me, that is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Now, there are other ways to extract the essence. One is, it is what is spoken throughout the scripture. If you see a theme that's repeated over and over again, then that is the essence. So I would say that Dharma Prajita Kaitava Tra is also the theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's in pretty much every canto. Where do you find it in the first canto? Where is cheating religion kicked out? Which pastime illustrates this point? It is Narada Muni, he tells Śrīla Vyāsadeva, how does it go? Well, there's several verses. There's Chaktva Svadharman Charanam Bhajam Harer Bhajan Apakvo Tapatet Yado Yadi Yatra Kavabhadram Abuddha Mushikim Kovarta Apto Bhajatam Adharmataha. If one performs one's duty perfectly, if one performs one's devotional service, but then due to immaturity one falls down, then where is the loss? On the other hand, if one performs one's material duties perfectly but is not engaged in devotional service, then where is the gain? Or Naishkarmyam Apyachuta Bhava Vajitam Yashobati Gyanam Alam Niranjanam. That even though you've written so much scripture which is Naishkarmya, it won't teach you fruit of work, still it is achuta bhava vargita, means it is devoid of devotional service. It's not properly emphasized the devotional aspect. Therefore it is not nice. It is nashobati, it is not nice. So that's the first canto, how Kaitava Dharma is kicked out. How about in the sixth canto, there's a nice example. You can think of there's several examples actually. There's one in particular, near the beginning of the sixth canto. This pastime of Ajamyo. The Yamadutas, they try to capture Ajamyo, and the Vishnudutas interrupted, and they said, why are you doing this? And then they said, Veda pranihito dharma, hya dharma tad viparyaya. It says, whatever's spoken in the Vedas, that is dharma. And anything else is not dharma. So their concept of dharma was based in the Vedas. But then the Yamadutas, they dharmantu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Yamaraj taught the Vishnu, the Yamadutas went back to Yamaraj, and then Yamaraj spoke Dharmang to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. That actual Dharma means whatever spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there, the Yamadutas, their understanding of the Vedas was incorrect. So therefore, cheating religion is kicked out. The Vedas, their understanding of the Vedas was kicked out, and the actual understanding of just service to Krishna was established. And then we have, in the seventh canto, we have the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Srila Prabhupada points out that Prahlad Maharaj, he's watching his father getting killed, and he's not objecting. So that's a violation of Dharma. You're supposed to protect your father. We have the example in the ninth canto. This is the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. Because Durvasa Muni was higher. According to Varnashram Dharma, Durvasa Muni's superior because he's the Brahmana. And Ambarish Maharaj is the Kshatriya. But still, Vishnu takes the side of Ambarish Maharaj. Therefore, the Varnashram Dharma is kicked out in favour of devotional service. You see, Dharma, Varnashram Dharma is secondary. And what about in the 10th canto? There's a number of very prominent examples. I'm not going to let you away without giving at least one example. Someone must give me one example. I've given all the examples. The Gopi is very good, yes. So as Uddhava says, Chaktava Sudushtacha, how's it go again? Asama aho charna rain rjusham. Do you know the verse? Vrindavan came up, he gulmala tau shadiman. Sudushta jas vajanam arya patam chahidva bejur makunda padavim shudibir vimrikyam. Uddhava says, he wants to become a piece of grass in Vrindavan, just so that the gopis will stand on him. You'll get the food dust of the gopis. Because they gave up what is very difficult to give up. They gave up their aryapat, their chastity. Svajana, they gave up their superiors. And just to bejur makunda, just to worship Govinda. So, I think that Kaitava Dharma, or giving up Kaitava Dharma, is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But let's go back to the point. There are other ways. Some will say how a scripture ends, that is the essence. Now, if just to give a different answer, how it begins, some people say how it begins and how it ends, that's the essence. Well, the Srimad Bhagavatam, how does it begin? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And how does it end? Tam Namami Harim Param. I offer my obeisances to Lord Hari. So it begins with obeisances and it ends with obeisances. So you could say that the Bhagavatam is all about worship. That's just my answer. There's so many different answers you can give. So yeah, another answer is, what is particular to that scripture? If a scripture is unique and it offers something that other scriptures don't, then that is the essence. Anyway, I believe it's Srila Jiva Goswami discusses this. But anyway, these are some ideas. So I'll just finish on one little point, because we were just discussing the gopis. So then there's a scripture called Hansa Dutta. It's the message of the gopis to Krishna. You know, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. He gave a message. That's called Uddhava Sandesh. It's a book that's been written by Srila Rupa Goswami. And there's another book called Hansa Dutta, also written by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that's the reply, the gopis' reply to Krishna's message. So in that scripture, there's a discussion of the Dasa avatars. And the gopis, they have a certain mood when they're discussing this. So when they discuss the pastime of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, they compare it to Srimati Radharani. Because, you see, Bali Maharaj, he gave up his superior and gave everything to Vamana. In the same way, Srimati Radharani, she gave up the order of her superiors and gave herself completely to Krishna. Now, just as Vamana bound up Bali Maharaj with ropes and threw him into Sutala, in the same way, Krishna bound up Srimati Radharani with the rope of unfulfilled love and threw her far away. He left Vrindavan. She's suffering like this. It's a nice different angle. You can see the gopis, they look at the Das avatars in a certain light. There's another one with Matsya avatar. There's a nice description there how Radharani baited Krishna with her heart, just like Matsya. Krishna's like Matsya. He took the bait and he cut the line, so that line was the line of discrimination. So Srimati Radharani, she's playing with Krishna, and then she loses her discrimination completely, becomes completely overwhelmed in love. Anyway, we stop here. Hare Krishna. It's almost 5:30, so any time for comments and questions?